Let freedom ring. By the way, I don't work with the Salvation Army. I'm not taking up donations, all right? Let freedom ring. That's what I'm preaching on today. Let freedom ring. And speaking of freedom, I've got a confession to make. We've had some terrorists terrorizing our property, and I have not been able to catch the critter that's been terrorizing our property. I noticed for 2 weeks our yard has been absolutely plowed under. How many know what I'm talking about? And finally, the other night, on the way home from church, about 10 o'clock, I noticed the little critter, you know, possum on a half shell. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Armadillo. Well, I've already declared war on the armadillos. Brother John knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, I saw this armadillo coming home in the ditch, in my neighbor's ditch. Well, how many know that if you don't get out quickly and take care of business, he's gone. And so I swerved off side of the road, tried to just go ahead and take him on out, you know. He's terrorizing the dogs and the yard and everything else. You know, they do carry diseases. Y'all animal lovers are looking at me like, Pastor, I can't believe you'd kill an animal. Hello, I'll do it in a heartbeat. Anyway, I tried to run over the thing, but he ran out of the way. I thought I'd hit him, but I didn't. Well, the other night I came in, it was 10 o'clock, heard the dogs barking. They always give, you know, it's usually about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock that I hear him barking, and there I look, turn the light on, there he is, and about the time I get old Betsy, you know, my 20-gauge shotgun, they're gone. And then I just see the end results the next morning. The yard's plowed over and other things as well. But anyway, the other night, Friday night, I believe it was, got in about 10 o'clock, heard the dogs barking. There was that critter right in the flower bed. Well, I went upstairs, got old Betsy 20-gauge shotgun. And boy, I want you to know, put that rascal down. And anyway, one less armadillo. Call me the armadillo killer, all right? One less armadillo in our neighborhood. So if you got some armadillos, call me. I know what to do with them, right? But anyway, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. On a more serious note, I got in the mail this week a card. It's actually a note card. A man who's in prison. A man who's in prison. And it reads like this. He says, hey, buddy, how things been for you? This man doesn't go to church here, but I've known him and been talking with him and praying with him for several years. And anyway, he said, well, friend, my life has made a bit of change, but I'm finding the good in it. I'm probably going to stay in prison for a good while, but brother, I've really got more peace with God than I've ever had. I'm okay with whatever happens to me. I'm walking with him daily, and I'm loving it. I'm cut off from my family, and I totally understand the Lord will bring us back together. And I'd really like if you'd keep in touch with me. And then he said some other things like, I wish you'd tell my family I love them. And please keep me in your prayers. I love you, your friend. And you know what? When I got that, my heart went out to this individual. But you know what? I also thought about how many people today may not be locked up behind bars, but yet in prison. And there may be somebody you today that you hear this morning, and yet you are free in the sense of not being locked up, but you're not free as in the sense of being free from the penalty of sin, or free from the power of sin, and then finally one day free of sin. Are you free today? The Bible says the Son, Jesus, said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. The truth will set you free. Let's say it together. The truth will set you free. Say it one more time. The truth will set you free. And the Lord Jesus made it clear. He said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Are you free today? Are you free from the cares of this world? Are you free from anxiety and the stresses that we all face day after day? Are you free from a bitter spirit or an unforgiving spirit? Are you free to enjoy the presence of God? Are you free to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind? Are you free to care about other people? Are you free to walk in communion and seeking God's face? Are you free today? Then the Son sets free is free indeed. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. And I believe the Lord is going to encourage our heart today as we look in His Word. There are three steps the Lord quickened in my heart concerning how to experience this kind of freedom. And I'm looking at some people today that deep down inside you're discouraged. Deep down inside you may be depressed. You may be going through a hard time. Maybe you're going through a storm, as we talked about a moment ago. But the Lord can free you from whatever you're facing today. So if you got your Bibles, take them please and turn to that Old Testament book. Not Genesis, which is the seed of the woman. Not Exodus, which is the Passover lamb. But Leviticus. And matter of fact, we're going to look at the text that we looked at here on Wednesday night. Some of you men that came to our Bible study. In fact, if you stay for Sunday school, this is the text you'll look at probably this morning in some of the classes. Leviticus chapter 25. And if you would stand as we read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant word of God. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. There are three steps. As we take these steps to enjoying freedom in Jesus, freedom by His blood, freedom through the cross of Christ, freedom by the power of the risen Lord, and by the power of a filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Freedom. I'm telling you, we are living in days of uncertainty, as you know, instability and insecurity. But in Jesus, we have all of those things because, praise God, He is the one that sets us free. In the book of Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 1, if you're there, say amen, please. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. Verse 4, but in the seventh year, notice, in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest. Underline the word rest. Be a Sabbath of rest under the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, neither nor prune thy vineyard, but which groweth out of thine own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed. It is a year of, help me out somebody, rest unto the land. God wants to teach us something today, and the Lord wants us to tap into this unlimited resource of rest in Him. Oh, thanks be to God. I need it, and you need it, and we all need it to rest in the Lord. Verse number 6, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger, thou that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beast that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Look at verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee. And the word Jubilee means liberty. The Hebrew word yovel, liberty. Look at verse number 9 again. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement. And shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Notice verse 10, underlined it. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty, 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 liberty.
throughout all the land and to the inhabitants thereof, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. And then turn over and skip over to verse number 23, if you would. Verse 23, and the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession you shall grant a redemption for the land. This is the word of God. May God bless it to our heart today. Father, I confess my total dependency upon you, my total inadequacy. Lord, I'm nothing without you, can do nothing, but we pray now for a word from heaven, for the mighty Spirit of God to open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to receive your incorruptible, indestructible, eternal word. Lord, we're tired and weary people, and you know we are, Lord. We're drugged down by the things of this world, and Lord, the enemy just has a way, Father, of just getting us down and discouraged and the Lord, ineffective. I pray, Father, for the mighty fresh wind and fresh fire and the fresh power of a risen living Lord to come and renew our strength today and revive our souls today. And Lord, God, refresh us today, we pray. Thank you for your presence and power. Thank you for, Lord, what you're going to do. I pray, Father, you'll liberate us from any and all cares of this life. And Lord, you'll bring us into freedom. You'll bring us into liberty. You'll, Father God, help us to experience all that you want for us in these days. I pray for mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies, and Lord, for children and teenagers and young people. Oh God, oh God, oh God, we've got to have your heaven's blessings. We need you, Lord. And we cry out for mercy. We cry out for forgiveness. We cry out, Father God, for a mighty baptism of fire and power upon this land of ours and upon our homes and upon our communities and upon our schools and upon our churches and upon our government and upon God, men and women and boys and girls. Father, even as we pray now and as we, Lord, gather together today to celebrate your goodness and your grace, we recognize, Lord, there are people all around us, every direction, south and north and east and west, that had no direction, that had no purpose, that had no plan, that, Lord, are mixed up and messed up and confused. And I pray, precious Lord, that you will, God, meet with us today and give us a passion to know you and to know the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering. I ask you, God, again, that I must decrease and you increase. Take to thee that great power and reign, cleanse us, Father, and thank you for the cleansing. Thank you what you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. We sense even now you're up to some stuff inside of us that we can't even see, but we recognize, our God, you're good all the time, and we bless you today because of who you are. Now, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified this day. We love you. We worship you. We praise you for your saving grace and your keeping grace. And, Lord, for the promises of your word, and, Father, the best is yet to come. So, God, just get all that is to us, we pray, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Number one, let freedom ring. How can we let freedom ring? Number one, here's the three steps. They're real simple, and they're found from the text. Number one, rest in the Lord today. Got it? Rest in the Lord today. If you would bring the Liberty Bell up. I think we've got that on the screen. I'm not sure. Let freedom ring. Do you know on the Liberty Bell? This Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 10 is inscribed on the Liberty Bell. How many know what the Liberty Bell is? Let me see your hand. Oh, listen, brother and sister, this is inscribed, and you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land under the habits thereof, and it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. Let freedom ring. How can we experience freedom? You see, just because you come to church, that's a good thing, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're experiencing freedom. I was thinking about it coming down the road. It was cloudy. It was foggy. And I thought about it. I said, Lord, probably some of our folks might just want to be sitting in the bed today and rather sleep instead of come to church. Y'all ever think about that? I don't know why I thought of that, but anyway, I did. And then it reminded me of the story of the man that woke up and said, you know, honey, I don't feel like going to church today. And his wife said, well, why not? He said, well, I just don't feel like going to church today. He said, the folks down there, they don't really like me. They don't talk with me a lot. And he said, I just really don't know if I really want to go or not. And he said, why should I go? She said, I'll give you one good reason to go. He said, why? She said, you're the pastor. Anyway, thank God I want to go to church. Amen. I do. I can't wait to get to church. I'm serious. I eat, drink, and sleep it. I just tell you, I'd rather be sick at church than sick at home. Can I get an amen? Well, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Number one, rest in the Lord today. Do you realize from verses 1 through verses 9 that Moses is writing this? And by the way, the children of Israel have been gloriously delivered out of Egypt. They have already crossed the Red Sea. However, they have not entered into the land of promise, that is the land of Canaan that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And therefore, they're at a strategic place. As a matter of fact, just a few weeks ago when we were over in Israel, we went through the Negev Desert, and this is where the children of Israel, after they crossed the Red Sea, they were at a strategic place called Kadesh Barnea, if you're well aware. It's found in the book of Numbers. However, they didn't believe God. Now get this, believe and receive or doubt and do without. Let's say it together. Believe and receive or doubt and do without. Say it one more time. Believe and receive or doubt and do without. They doubted, they did without. You can doubt and do without today as well. I can as well. In fact, we can leave today saying, Lord, nothing happened in my heart. I didn't experience any kind of breakthroughs in my life. Well, the Lord is not going to absolutely force himself on you, although he can. But more than likely, he causes us and allows us to cooperate with him. Let freedom ring. The context of Leviticus chapter 25, if you well remember, the Lord has already laid down methods whereby God's people could be in fellowship with him in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There's the burnt offering, there's the grain offering, there's the trespass offering, there's the sin offering. God wants to have fellowship with you and me today. Tell me, it's more than just coming to church. Don't you want to have fellowship with God? Isn't that why you're here today? Isn't that your heartbeat, is to walk with the Lord, experience his glory and his resurrection power every day? Well, God had made provisions for the people of God to enjoy that. However, as you progress through the book of Leviticus, you find out, for example, there was several events that took place, one of which is called the Day of Atonement. If you'll notice, this Day of Atonement is mentioned in verse 9, 10, and following in the text. And this was what the Jewish feast, one of those Jewish feasts that God expected his people to experience and to celebrate. If you want to learn more about that, you can read in chapter 23 of the book of Leviticus. There are seven feasts. Remember the Passover, depicting the crucifixion of our Lord. Remember the unleavened bread, showing the burial, or at least depicting the picture of Jesus when he was crucified, was buried in the tomb. However, number three, do you remember the first fruits? That is a Jewish feast. We do not practice these feasts as Christians. However, we do experience the benefits of these feasts. And then not only the first fruits, which also paints the beautiful picture of the risen Lord, but then fourth Jewish feast found in Leviticus 23 is the feast of Pentecost, showing that great experience when the birthday of the church happened in the book of Acts chapter 2. And then we come to the fall of the year. By the way, you know the next Jewish feast will be celebrated, I think it's around September the 28th. What Jewish feast is it? The Feast of Trumpets. In fact, it's not the trumpet in regards to the rapture of the church. Rather, it's the trumpet that will be experienced when Jesus comes in glory and power. How do I know that? Because if you read Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31, you find that the Jewish feast is not necessarily this feast. It's called Rosh Hashanah, a new year, and therefore the celebration has to do with Christ coming again in glory and power after the 7 years of tribulation. And then following that is this Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, whereby all the Jews, even today, by the way, will make the wrongs right. How many believe that we ought to make the wrongs right? How many believe that God doesn't want you to have bitterness or animosity in your heart? Let freedom ring. Well, after the 10 days of Yom Kippur, then you move right into the seventh feast that is even celebrated today, called the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, whereby the children of Israel recognize and realize God's mighty provision as they wander in the wilderness, and thus they celebrate this, building these thatched huts and praising God for all He is. Now, we come to the text today. Let freedom ring. Rest in the Lord today. Rest in the Lord today. Well, how can we rest in the Lord today? Here's what I want you to remember. Number one, by tapping into God's supernatural, extraordinary, miraculous working power. How many believe that we serve a God that's a supernatural God? Let me see your hand. Do you believe that God is supernatural? Do you believe that God can do miraculous things? I don't know if you believe that or not, but I want you to know, if you believe in the God of the Bible, you must come away with the same conclusion that God is a mighty God, that God can do anything but fail, that God indeed answers prayer according to His will. Some of you need a breakthrough today. Some of you may be like our dear brother that I visited with just yesterday, last night. When you get down, or when you hear news, Sister Mary, or when something happens to you, all of a sudden you realize that God is in control. I'm not in control. God is in control. I must trust Him. I must believe Him. Are you realizing and trusting in the Lord today? Well, we serve a supernatural God. In fact, God said to Mary, the angel said, with men some things are impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Let's say it together. With God, all things are possible. Say it again. With God, all things are possible. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that God can alter and change the Ethiopian skin and the leper spot? Do you believe that God can open a door for you that no man can open? Do you believe that God is still in the healing business? How many believe that God can still heal bodies? Do you really believe that God is still the great physician? Do you really believe that He's still Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals? Has He done it in your life? Are you trusting now to do it? I know the will of God is always supreme. Can I tell you a story how great our God is? Let me tell you a story. Let freedom ring. Rest in the Lord today. Jesus said, I'll tell you the story in a moment. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. But remember the writer of Hebrews, many believe to be Paul, some say Silas. I personally lean toward Paul. Nonetheless, remember in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, Paul wrote those words, or the writer said, there is a rest that remains to the people of God. Tell me, are you resting in the Lord these days? Do you have that peace that passes understanding? Are you troubled about the direction of this world? Are you confused? Are you in a state of frustration? Are you resting in the Lord? May I remind you, Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Can I just put it simply, put it this way? You're not aware of what all the Holy Spirit of God is doing when you come and you sit under the wonderful Word of God. I have experienced it in my own personal life. You have experienced it in your life. In fact, today you're going to experience that. When you leave the church, you're going to say, you know what? I was tired when I came to church. I was kind of bombarded and maybe down. And you know, I was just feeling a little blah. But you know, I've been to church and I don't know what happened. There's something about it. I just feel renewed. I just feel refreshed. I mean, it's something about it when you leave. It's like, my, I just got another burst of energy. I'm ready to go out and face the world. How many know what I'm talking about? That's the Spirit of God renewing your strength. That's waiting upon the Lord and letting God's Word build you up. But may I remind you too that in the Word of God, for example, in Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. The Bible teaches the psalmist David, nameless, said this. He said, delight thyself in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Verse 5. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. But listen to me. How many know that one day we're all going to rest? Those of us who've been gloriously saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, writer of Revelation, named the child exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Remember what he said? Revelation 14, 13. He said, blessed are they that die in the Lord. From henceforth they cease their labors and their works do follow them. The word cease means to rest. By the way, aren't you glad? Listen, some of you that are working and you got a lot of responsibilities and a lot of problems on your mind, aren't you glad that God says, I'm not going to give you rest from the work. I'm going to give you rest in the work. I'm praying. I don't know about you, brother. Listen, sister, I want to challenge you today to pray that prayer. Lord, teach me how to rest in you in the work. Teach me how to abide in you as I've got to function as a daddy, as a mama, as a young person. I've got to fulfill my obligations. God, give me that rest. Tomorrow, you're going to go out in this whole world and experience, like we all do, the bombardments of the world, the flesh and the devil. Say, Lord, help me to rest in you. Can I give you an example of tapping into the supernatural, miraculous, wonder-working power of a living God? How many know Kevin Glaze? Let me see your hand. Kevin Glaze is a young man. He's not quite 50. Kevin and I spent some time just a few days ago. We prayed together and talked together. Here's what Kevin told me. Kevin said, as you well know, let me just take you back for what actually took place. Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. Some of you are ready, some of you are not. Let me take you back to what happened just a little few weeks ago. As a matter of fact, a couple of months ago. In fact, it was the date of June the 28th. What were you doing June the 28th? Well, I don't know, bless God. Well, let me tell you what happened to me on June the 28th, just a few months ago. I was here at the church. It was 7 o'clock. It was on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. You might be looking at your calendar. I hope it is on Saturday. I believe it is on Saturday, June the 28th. I got a telephone call. Actually, back up a moment. I got a text message. And here's what the text message said. Brother Randy, please pray for Kevin. We're down here in Florida right now. And I don't know what's going on, but Kevin is totally confused. And he's saying things out of his head. And he's not in his right mind. And so I've rushed him to the hospital. And we're at the hospital now. And we're running through tests. They think he's had an aneurysm. And so pray for him. Please pray for him. To pray immediately, and then I picked up the phone and I called Deborah Glaze, and she can verify. And I said, as I called her, I said, Deborah, what is going on? And she went on to tell me, we're down here at the hospital in Florida, and Kevin is just for the last couple of days had a terrible headache, and he just is so disoriented. And so consequently, we decided to come to the hospital. Finally, they're running tests right now. Here's what she told me. She said they believe he's had an aneurysm. And how many know an aneurysm's not good? How many know that an aneurysm in your head's not good? How many know this? She said this, and God be my witness. I did not say this after she said it, but I remember she told me this. She said, this word is the size of a tennis ball. I said, what? She said, a size of the tennis ball is what they said. And immediately I didn't want to overreact. When you get news like that, it's important that you wait on the Lord. And so she said, it's a sign. I said, wait a minute. She said, it looks like they're going to rush him to the hospital over here. And it looks like surgery is inevitable. I'm talking about a real person, a real event that really happened a few weeks ago. And I'm talking about a real God today. Well, what do we do? After I talked with her on the phone, I said, Deborah, I want you to agree with me. I want us to take the Bible, and I want you to agree with me. How many know that Jesus said, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, they shall ask. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Agree together. Now, when we pray, it's not twisting God's arm, making him do what he doesn't want to do. Rather, it's just releasing his power to do what he wants to do already. He's just looking for somebody that'll agree and follow suit with what he wants to do. Did you miss that? I hope you didn't miss what I just said. Well, nonetheless, go back to there. Here I'm talking with Deborah on the phone. Deborah, let's agree together. And so we agreed together and prayed, oh God, your will be done. But we're asking in the name of Jesus for to touch Kevin's body. You made Kevin. How many believe that God knows us better than doctors do? Hello. How many know that God made us, God formed us in our mother's womb, Jeremiah 1:5. And the Lord knows our thoughts from afar off. According to Deuteronomy 6, he knows when we sit down, he knows when we lie down. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We can trust him. He's our heavenly Father. Oh, I'm glad Jesus said not one hair can fall from our head. Amen. Without God knowing about it. I've told y'all. Well, this kind of God, as we prayed together, Deborah and I, and said, Lord, now, has God done something in your life lately? Is your God alive? Is he real? Is he doing stuff in your life? Let me finish the story, all right? This will bless you. This will encourage you. God said, I bless you so much. 6 years, you're going to plant your crops and all, but you're going to stop at the 6th year. 7th year, you're not going to plant them. 8th year, you're not going to plant them. 9th year, you're going to plant them. The 8th year, 9th year, you're going to reap them. Wait a minute. God said, you can read it later. God said, I'm going to bless you so much that if you obey me and trust me, the land's mine, you're mine, everything's mine. I'm going to bless you so much you're not even going to need to plant your garden. I'm going to provide for you. How many believe that God provides for us? He's Jehovah Jireh. You ought to praise him right now. You ought to say, Lord, you've been good to me now. You ought to say, God, I know I don't deserve it. You ought to say, Lord, I know I'm not worthy, but God, you spared me. You blessed me. How many are grateful to God for the help that he gives you? How many are grateful today? How many told the Lord, Lord, you sure have blessed me with good health. Have you told the Lord that today? Why not do it right now? Why not praise him now? Why not thank him now? Why not say, hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I dare you to praise the Lord. Amen. I dare you. I'm telling you, it'll do you some good. But you know what happened? As I agreed with... Now, I know somebody says, but Brother Pastor, I don't get all worked up like you do. You get all excited and all. Guess what? I got excited when I was serving the devil. And guess what? I see some of y'all down there at the ball game. I wasn't at your house last night when the Bulldogs were playing and the Yellow Jackets were playing, and Seminoles and all that crowd. But I guarantee you, there was some, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. You see that run? Woo, touchdown. Y'all don't look at me like I'm so strange. Or you kill that deer. Or you catch that fish. Don't you tell me you're not emotional. Ha! I've seen you down at the ball game. We're all mixed up. We ought to be excited and emotional about God. I'm serious. And by the way, I gave the devil 100%. Why not give God 100%? Hello? If you don't believe and shout, if you don't shout, you ought to believe in it. You just go home, get yourself in your kitchen, go to your bathroom, and start saying, God, you've been good to me. I know we want to be sophisticated. I know we're afraid. Somebody might think I'm a holy roller. You know what? At least we're holy, and at least we're rolling if they call us a holy roller. We're getting somewhere. Hello. But listen, folks, I've gotten over the fact what people think about me, what people say about me. I'm going to love you anyway. I'm not trying to put on. It's just me, all right? God uses different people. And if you're not one that's not emotional, that's fine. Glory to God. But I can see you now. There's some things that really let your wood get on fire. So you might as well say, hallelujah, God's been good to me. He's been good. Let me finish the story. Kevin goes from the hospital from point A to point B. We're praying. I wait for a call. I wait for a message. I get the message later that night. Kevin's in the hospital now. They had to rush him to this other hospital. It looks like surgery is inevitable. The bleeding is still there. It's bad, brother. And pray for him. I'm not sure what's the future going to hold. This is Saturday night. I'm wondering, Lord, what will you have me to do? Pray, pray, pray. Well, long story short, the next day, Kevin's in ICU. He still had this aneurysm. He's still not in good shape. But many of you know what's happened, but you don't know this. You don't know what I'm fixing to tell you. You know that Kevin, God has done a work, but you don't know what I'm fixing to tell you, so you need to listen. If you're listening, say amen. Listen, this will bless you. It'll bless your socks off. You need a blessing? It'll bless your socks off if you got any socks on. Anyway, hey, Kevin went to the hospital, and you know what happened? The next day, Deborah sent him a text message. The next day rolls by. I said, I'm going to come down. I said, wait, hold on. They're talking about this. They're running tests here. They're running this test, A day passes by. Another day passes by. Finally, he gets moved up here. And then they say, well, he's going to have speech therapy for no telling how long. And they're still uncertain. He's got to go to this neurosurgeon. He's got to go to this neurologist. He's got to go here. Well, time passes by. I met with Kevin just a few days ago. You know what Kevin told me? Kevin said this, Brother Randy, you're not going to believe this. Now, he's not out of the woods completely, but hallelujah, God's done a work. He said, and I quote Kevin, he said 30% of the people that had the kind of aneurysm I had die immediately. 30%. He said another 30%, according to the neurologist, of the other 30% are totally incapacitated and disabled for life. You get that? 30% die. 30% are totally incapacitated and disabled for life. He said another 30% do get through it, but have some kind of crippling effect. And then he said this, only 1 to 2%, according to the neurologist, only 1 to 2% out of 100%, 1 or 2% are able to recover and be able to function as they did before they had the stroke. I'm telling you today, Kevin's not here at home. Kevin's on his job. He's gone out of town. He's working today. Glory to God. Wait a minute. That's not the whole story. I know you feel like saying, God, you've done a work there. When God does a work, he wants to get glory for it. He wants to get glory for it. And so, listen, Kevin said this. He said, the doctor said, evidently, from the time I went to the hospital, the first hospital, when I had this aneurysm, somehow or another, can't figure it out, but the bleeding stopped from the time I went to the first hospital to the time I went to the second hospital. I can't hear you. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? Isn't that like God? Is that a miracle or what? You see, that's the real issue. The bleeding stopped. I'm talking about an aneurysm in the brain. And God has done a work there. Praise his holy name. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. God says, rest today in the Lord. Number two, not only rest, but release your burdens, your pain, your troubles of yesterday. Not only rest today, but God wants us to learn how to release our burdens. By the way, in the text you'll find out those were able to get back their land who during that time of the 49 years, it was restored back to them. Rest in the Lord. Release. How many of you have trouble today? How many of you have got something on your mind? There's some kind of problem. There's some kind of person. Something's happened. You can't get the breakthrough. You need the breakthrough today. You need to be liberated. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Got a call last week. A lady got a ticket. How many know what I'm talking about? Ticket. Speeding ticket. How many know what I'm talking about? A speeding ticket. This lady was mad. I'm not looking at you, Justin, because I don't think you gave it to him. Amen. This person doesn't go to the church, but they call me and say, Pastor, I just got a speeding ticket. I'm infuriated about it. I said, oh, well, why? Anyway, I'll spare you with all the details. Reminded me of the older lady that got pulled over by the police officer. He said, let me see your driver's license. The senior adult. She said, I don't have one. He said, what? She said, I don't have one. He said, let me see your insurance card. She said, I don't have one. And she said, what? You don't have your driver's license. You don't have your insurance card. He said, ma'am, open the trunk. She said, sir, I've got a dead body in the trunk. I just killed somebody and cut them up. And they're in the back of the trunk. I can't open it. He said, what? He said, I'm calling backup. He called his backup buddy. He came, and the backup buddy said, ma'am, as he arrived on the scene, the police officer told her, man, this lady didn't have a license. She don't have an insurance card. She said she has a body in the trunk. Come on, I need help right now. The police officer came up, and he said, ma'am, let me see your driver's license. She pulled out her pocketbook and showed him her driver's license. He said, okay. He said, let me see your insurance card. She reached in her glove compartment, pulled out her insurance card. He said, ma'am, let me see the trunk. She opened up the trunk. There was nothing in the trunk. The police officer said, this police officer just told me that you didn't have your license, didn't have your insurance card, and there was a dead body in the trunk. She said, yeah, he probably lied to you and told you that I was speeding too, didn't he? Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Now, some of you that are wondering about that, the Bible says, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart do good like medicine. Matter of fact, that probably just released a lot of the stress you've been under all week, all right? But speaking of tickets, you know, sometimes bad things happen, but God's able to use bad things and bring about good. How many believe that? In fact, I talked with a person last week. They were having a bad day. Have you ever had a bad hair day? Have you ever had a bad day? Come on, don't look like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you're having a bad hair day today, all right? I know it's cloudy outside, and I know it's foggy, but anyway. But wait a minute. You know what this person said? Said, I had a bad day. But they said, watch this. I drove up to the red light, and about that time, I saw a funeral procession going by, and all of a sudden, I had a good day. All of a sudden, I had a good day. Let freedom ring. One, rest in the Lord. Today, to release the burdens and the cares of yesterday. Three, and I'll be done, reclaim the promises for tomorrow. If we had time, we'd look in the book of Leviticus chapter 25 and see the reclaiming of that land, the reclaiming of those servants who serve God. Let freedom ring. I'll close on this story. My time's gone. How many know Corrie ten Boom? Corrie ten Boom was a missionary. Corrie ten Boom could not get victory. She was in a German Nazi camp, and they had done atrocities and terrible things to her. Consequently, she had developed a bitter spirit, understandably so, and she could not get a breakthrough. She could not get victory. Night after night, watch this. Night after night, she could not sleep. She couldn't rest. Why? It was consuming her mind. Tell me, what's on your mind these days? I mean, it was absolute consuming her mind. She couldn't sleep. Finally, she went to a pastor, a Lutheran pastor. And here's what he told her. She told him she couldn't sleep. She told him what problems she was facing. What's on your mind these days? Let freedom ring. You know what he said? He said, ma'am, look up there. There was a bell up in the loft of the church. There was a rope that held that bell. And he said, I want you to look at that bell. He said, as long as that bell ringer pulls that rope, the bell will ring. But he said, when he stops and lets go of the rope, the bell will eventually stop. He said, you need to let go of the rope. She went home that night and said, I've been pulling this bell long enough. I'm going to let go of the rope. She said, she let go of the rope. And for a night or two, she could still, those thoughts were running through her mind, but eventually, the thoughts went away. Let freedom ring. Let's stand together, can we?